Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is it that Jesus is teaching in today's parable? Is he teaching us that it is better to stand around idle throughout our lives and then join his kingdom when our lives are drawing to a close? Is he teaching us that we should be lazy and lax so that we could somehow become first? Is that how it really works in the kingdom of heaven? It is easy to take these words of Jesus, which are filled with the grace of God, and twist them so that we become to abuse them. After all, those who go to work at the end of the day receive the exact same wage as those who begin their work at the beginning of the day. So those who work 12 hours receive the same wage as those who had worked just 1 hour. Many can take this to then think that they can, that this parable means that they can say this, "I'll do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. I'm saved by grace." We just sang in the hymn that my works and merit basically mean nothing, so I won't volunteer in the church. I won't give to the church. I won't go to church to hear the word. I won't bother going to receive the sacrament. I don't even need to speak well of my church or her members or her pastor, for I can do all that I want. I'm not saved by that anyway. And then at my deathbed, or when I advance in years, then I'll make up for it all. I'll do that 1 hour of labor that God is describing here. I'll become active then. I'll give to the church. I may even be generous. I'll tell God that I'm sorry for my neglect and for my violation of the third commandment. And because I labored for that short time, God will grant me that same reward as those who have foolishly labored ever so hard in Christ's church throughout their lives. Is this what Jesus is trying to do? Give us a way to play the system? Of course not. Jesus is not teaching laziness as a Christian or being able to simply bank on waiting till our very last moments in this life. He is not teaching us to abuse him or his grace or his forgiveness. But he is teaching us something that is grand and glorious, something we ought to be grateful for. And that is those who are converted late in life receive the exact same reward as those who are converted early in life. All who believe and are baptized will be saved. All will be saved who believe in Jesus, which means that they will be with the Lord in heaven forever. For that we rejoice. We rejoice that God is merciful and saves sinners who are converted later in life. We rejoice that God is merciful and saves sinners who are converted early in life. We rejoice that God grants to all who believe in Jesus the exact same salvation, eternal life with our Lord, the promise of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We rejoice that this is granted to us all, not by what we have done, but by grace. We rejoice that this salvation of our bodies and souls is not earned by us, but it was earned and won by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, as the truly patient Lamb of God, went to the cross and shed his innocent blood, dying on our behalf there, making the ultimate payment, that ultimate sacrifice for our sin, that he laid down his life for us. We rejoice that we are members of his kingdom now, and that as we sojourn through this veil of tears, Jesus is present to shepherd us. He is guiding us. He is leading us. He loves us. We rejoice that we can take all things to our Lord in prayer. He hears each and every prayer, and he will answer them in accordance to his good and gracious will. We rejoice that even now we are members of God's kingdom, and that we have peace with God, the forgiveness of sins, and have eternal life. Many, though, knowing, even though they've heard these things time and time again, they feel that it is not fair that Christians who are converted late in life receive the same reward as those who are converted early in life. They feel that lifelong Christians who have labored their entire life should get more. What they fail to recognize is that we have more. For we have the pleasure of a life with Christ, a walk with God. We have the distinction of being baptized, adopted into God's family, His children, brothers and sisters to our brother Jesus. We have the privilege of hearing God's word of promise and receiving the sacrament, a pledge, a seal of Christ's dying and bleeding love, by which we receive the forgiveness of sins. We have that great privilege of actually being at peace with God even now. So while we acknowledge our sins and they're ever before us, Christ has acquitted us of our sin and declares us even now to be saints. As we live our lives in this fallen world, witnessing all sorts of bad things around us, even among our loved ones, even committing sins that we regret, we know our standing before God. And that is, as His children, we are acquitted of our sin. We do not need to wander through this life pondering on who put us here or where we are going, because we know where we came from, that God created us, and that He has reserved a room for us in heaven. We have that great privilege and honor of being shepherded right now by our Good Shepherd. There is so much that we enjoy right now as Christians. We should never become jealous of those who are not currently being shepherded by our Good Shepherd. But yet many would have it the other way around. They think it is somehow beneficial to run with the world with her lusts and sins and evils. They think that real life is somehow hampered by Christ and the church and the message of the cross. And so they think that they are better off without the Word of God, without Christ, His church, forgiveness, and kingdom. And they feel that the best thing for them is on their deathbed or in their last days, make up for it all. But Jesus, He sees through such hypocrisy. Those who think that they can do such things are deceiving themselves. Rather than teaching laziness as a Christian, Jesus teaches the opposite in today's parable. Jesus, in a very kind way, finds faults with two groups of people in today's parable. The first are those who end up standing idle all day, and the second are those who worked all day, and then they became jealous of those who stood around idle most of the day. And Jesus warns the latter group not to be evil because God is so good. The active agent in this parable, like many parables, is our Lord Jesus. Jesus is the one who earned, offers, and grants the same gift, the same payment to those in the vineyard. The payment given to us is the payment of the blood of Christ, His life. And this payment is given to all believers. That is, the same wage is granted, the same reward. And what is that reward? What is that payment that He gives to us? It is the forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. Therefore, all who have received the same payment are covered with the very righteousness of Christ and are viewed by God the Father as having kept the entire law. How can we not but be thankful for having and experiencing and enjoying these gifts? And how can we not desire to work in his church as workers in the vineyard for having received such immeasurable blessings? God gives gifts freely. He does so as he pleases, and he gives according to his good and perfect standard, not according to our biased and imperfect standards. He chooses to give what is right, and we do not make that determination. We leave those things up to him, and we happily labor in his kingdom. We don't look around at our neighbors in the church and say, "Well, I'm done working. I'm no longer going to give to the church. I'm not going to volunteer in the church or in service to my neighbor in the community because I've already done so much. For those other people haven't done a thing. I'm going to quit to force them to get to work." That is not the mind of Christ. You don't give or refrain from giving because of what others do. You don't volunteer or refrain from volunteering because of what others do. You don't help or refrain from helping because of what others are doing. Instead, you do it because of your identity, the identity granted to you in your baptism. You are a Christian. Therefore, you give, you volunteer, and you help because you embody Christ as a Christian and because you walk in those good works which God has prepared beforehand for you to do. As Christians, it is true, we are actually called to labor. It is not to attain favor with God, but it's because we've already been received into his favor. We are called to enter the vineyard and labor there with others and for others. When we are called into the vineyard, we are called into the Christian church. And this Christian church is present right here in this place, in Lexington. Yes, we are gathered as a congregation and organized as one. We are called as a life together as Christians. We enjoy the fellowship of one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus certainly teaches us to congregate with one another. But this Christian church is not just limited to this place, but the Christian church is far greater and larger than the congregation, than this congregation. For we have brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. Our influence and our laboring and our help must go beyond this congregation. We have tremendous opportunities which, should we be standing idle, we would watch them by. There are so many good mission opportunities for us to be supporting so that people worldwide can hear the word of the saving word of Christ and enter into Christ's church. In the upcoming months, we have that tremendous opportunity for our special services to be supporting missions across the globe. And in fact, there are even many in our own community who do not know Christ, and so we are to labor among them so that they too can hear that word of Christ. As Christians, we are called to a life together in which we labor with one another for the good of our neighbor. Therefore, in this, we are striving to win a treasure. Or to use the words of Paul in our epistle, we run a race. We bear the heat and the burden of the day. Know that there will be trials along the way as you labor in the ways in which the Lord would have you labor. Know that many will mock and scorn you for being faithful to him throughout your lives. Your Christian life is also a fight. You simply can't state that you wish to wait until your deathbed and then repent. Why not? Because as Paul teaches in our epistle, that you are, as a Christian, one who runs, one who races for an imperishable crown. You race, you fight, in fact, for a prize. You fight so that you do not become disqualified. The Christian race, the Christian fight, is not some game of beating the air, and it is not imaginary. It is not a simple toy or plaything, but this is reality. God's gifts are true and sure and certain, But so are the roars of the enemy, the temptations of our own flesh, and the seductions of the world around us. The devil, the world, and our sinful nature are always seeking to destroy, and so we fight against them. We fight the devil with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We fight the world's temptations by prayer and meditation. We discipline our bodies and bring them into subjection so that we do not become disqualified. This is not a show. It is not a game, but it is reality, and it is the Christian life. We all live, run, race, and fight together so that we, as God's people, receive an imperishable crown. We labor for one another and with one another as members of God's kingdom and workers in his vineyard. And Christ grants us an imperishable crown, a gift of grace that is far better than a measly denarius of which they were bickering and arguing and complaining over. For it is better what you get from God's grace than all of the world's wealth. Should you have the world's wealth, it would not buy your way into heaven. But by grace, you have received access to heaven through the Son of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his innocent blood on your behalf, dying on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and rising victoriously to grant you life. Jesus gives you a treasure far beyond the treasures of the world, for he reconciles you to your Father in heaven and grants you salvation. Jesus does what he wishes with his things, for he is good, and his desire is to grant you the treasures of heaven, giving it to you all for free, granting it to you by grace. Today's parable amounts to this: we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. He saves us. It is a gift of grace. And it ought to be our desire to receive this gift earlier in life than later, and for others to have this gift earlier in life than later. And then, living in this grace, we joyfully labor in his kingdom. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.